As I told you before, on the beginning of the year, we're going to begin a new book of the Bible. But for right now, we're going to do a couple of topical messages. This week does not have to do with Christmas, but the upcoming weeks. Next Wednesday night, we'll be talking about Christmas, and on the 31st, we'll be revealing our new theme. Next, obviously, the 17th and the 24th, we'll probably have something to deal with our Christmas season. I had to get my microphone adjusted. All those kids have been using it and other people practicing for the play. So if you watch me play with it a little bit, it's because of that. Tonight, the title of the message is Making Spiritual Investments. Making Spiritual Investments. And something that I've been looking at, wanting to talk about for a little while, and I thought it would be a good time and a good spot about what are we investing in. Now, when we talk about investments, we're not just talking about financially. We're talking about our time, our talents, our resources. And in Matthew chapter number 6, the Lord gets kind of puts the perspective on here. This is known as the famous Sermon on the Mount. And here in this passage of Scripture, there is so much to pull out of it. But I think there's some thoughts here tonight that I think can be a real encouragement and a real help to you. You know, it's very common for people to respond to difficult situations with fear. It's very common when someone is brought up against a time and a place where they do not know what to do, they become afraid. But our Bible tells us over and over in Scriptures, like we heard an angel tell Mary, an angel tell Joseph, and the angel tell the shepherds, fear not. 2 Timothy 1:7, it talks about how we don't get the spirit of fear from God. And it's important that we understand that the spirit of fear does not come from God, and fear causes us to turn our backs on God and step away from our faith and try to devise solutions and devise our own solutions and try to make our own things work out. And fear is something that's illustrated throughout the Bible. There's many different illustrations where people have gone and done the wrong things. I think of King Ahaz over in 2 Chronicles 28, also found in 2 Kings. During his time of distress, Ahaz turned away from God. He began to sacrifice to false gods. He even took the resources that they had in the temple, the gold and the silver, out of the temple for his own use to worshiping false gods. See, fear can keep us from making proper decisions. It can also cause us not to make the proper investments spiritually. And I tell you that the best thing you can invest in this world, with our time, with our resources, and with our talents, is spiritual things. We're investing in something in our lives. And I want to show you from this passage of Scripture, just five different thoughts, and there, once again, you could spend weeks or months just looking at these Scriptures, verses 19 through 34 in Matthew chapter number 6. But hopefully from this idea that we can take, that we should not be using our lives for temporal things, but instead for eternity. And not to let fear take us away from investing in our lives, our time, our talents, and our finances and resources into eternity. Many times the reason why people do not want to invest in things, whether it be time, talent, or resources, is because they're fearful. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, if God speaks to our heart about giving, we say, well, I can't do that because I have these needs. If God speaks to our hearts about mentoring maybe or using our talents, I can't do that because I'm just not able to. And we make up reasons. If God speaks to our hearts about reaching out to tell somebody about Jesus Christ, fear is usually the number one reason why we won't do that. And our time, we're so fearful if we give everything over to God and we invest our time in God, we will not have enough time for the things we want Him to do. Now, we need to understand, if we have one life to live, and that one life we have to live, what type of investments are we making? We spend so much time on things that really do not count or for eternity. We waste the precious time we have. So making spiritual investments tonight. And once again, this is not because of the fact that our church is struggling this year. It's not the idea that it's trying to get you to give more money. You're going to see in one of the points, that's not the idea here tonight. The idea is to have a heart to want to invest in eternal things. And if our heart, if our treasure is about investing in eternal things, or if our heart's there, the treasure is going to come too. Let's look what it says in Matthew chapter 6. We're going to read all the way from 19 to 34, famous passages of Scripture. A lot of these verses, like I said, you could develop a sermon series out of this, but we're going to look at it very quickly and very topically tonight, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. And Christ puts it right there. He says, don't waste your time laying up your treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt. He says the reason why, because they are temporal here on earth. They will not last. And where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. He's saying, don't waste your investments on things in this world, but instead lay them up, because they are not temporal, but instead they are eternal. Verse 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where you put your heart at, your treasure is sure to follow. Verse 22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, for what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, and your heavenly Father feedeth them, and are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. And verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's help tonight as we look at this thought, making spiritual investments. Lord, we need your help. Lord, I need your help. Lord, I don't want this to be about me. I don't want it to be about what people hear from me. Lord, I want them to hear from your word. And Lord, I want them to hear the truth. And Lord, I want you to drive something into our hearts, Lord, a mile deep to help us understand, to focus our life on trying to invest in spiritual interests. In Jesus' name, amen. First point is the priority of spiritual investments. The priority of spiritual investments. Verses 19 and 20, it says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. He tells his followers to lay up their treasures in heaven. Now, don't get me wrong. The Bible is not against the idea of earthly investment. The Bible is not against the idea of earthly investment. We're expected to be good stewards of the opportunities and privileges that we have. God has entrusted us with many different things. Proverbs 21:20 says, there is a treasure to be desired, and an oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up. God also says in his word, a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. The Bible also says, but if any man provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Before I get any farther, I want you to understand God does not mind if we make provisions for the future. He talks about leaving an inheritance. He talks about taking and using and be able to provide for your families. But the point is, that should not be our treasure. That should not be our focus. There is a treasure to be desired and an oil on the dwelling of the wise, meaning that they will have enough resources to be able to provide and do the things that God has intended them to do. And many times God gives someone resources so that he can bring glory to himself by the way they use those resources. It's important to remember this. God wants you to provide for your family. The Bible is certainly not against an earthly investment. You think about in the Matthew chapter 25, you think about the parable of the talents. When the master returned, he left his money in care. You know, what did he look for? He looked how they did these things. When the one man took the talent, he put it into the ground. What did the master say? Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own usury. Now, certainly the main thrust of that message was about the talents and the time that God had given him, that God was coming back. But you can make it applicable, a fair application, that God expects us to be wise with the investments he's given us, the material possessions that he's given us, and that he gives us and increases them for his glory. God enjoys being able to use the little bit that you have or the great amount that you have and speak to your heart to try to be a blessing to someone else and to be able to be a help to somebody else. I want you to understand tonight, God is not against you investing in earthly things. It's just not where your heart should be. I want you to understand the priority or the emphasis that's placed upon here. It says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Instead, we're supposed to lay them up on heaven. These are eternal treasures. Jesus is telling them that whatever you invested on this earth is insecure. It's temporary. Solomon, I love it when he warns us. Riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward the heaven. That ever happened to you? I don't know about you, but it seems like the money does not last very long, does it? Riches, you seem like you might have a little bit. You start using it, start spending it, you start doing good things with it. It seems like, where did it go? It just flew away. The bank account's empty once again. The things of this world, they're temporal. They will not last. We need to make a priority in investing in things for the future. Now, millions of people found that this to be painfully true a few years ago, even in the sense that we're still in a transition state, still living in a time where the real estate and stock markets are not the best. And no matter how careful you are selecting things and making your treasures here in this world, nothing is permanent. Nothing is concrete. How many people lost their 401ks? How many people lost their stocks when we had the financial problems and we're still in those financial issues? The spiritual investments you make can never be stolen away. They will never lose their value. And we need to understand that. What are we putting our time, our effort in? And we need to say, okay, does this matter for eternity? Does this really count for things that matter? Now think about it. I heard this story, and I know it's not exactly the way things happen, but I think it's cute, it's appropriate, and I think you can learn something from it. So listen to it. A rich man died and went to heaven. Because of his wealth, he had always been accustomed to having the best of everything. As he gazed on the streets of gold and the mansions, he grew excited. He had always had the biggest and the best home in his neighborhood, and he couldn't wait to see where he would be living at in heaven. But instead of a glittering mansion, he was taken to a tiny cottage. He says, "Is that it?" And they said, "That's where I have to live?" And the angel replied, "That's all we could build with the materials you sent to us." I know that's not exactly the way things work, but because that's all that they sent up, that's all the treasure they laid up, they didn't have enough that's left over. You like that, don't you? That's good. That's the truth, isn't it? You know, there was a pastor, his name was George Tuitt. He pastored the biggest, I know it doesn't really matter if it's big or not, it's a First Baptist church in Dallas. And he went out to visit, it was the biggest church in attendance in the world of that time, and also received the most offerings in the world of that time. And he went to visit a very wealthy rancher. Rancher come to the house, he took the pastor out into his fields, and he said, "Look this way as far as you can." He said, "Look that way as far as you can." And he says, "I own everything you see." And the pastor, they expected the pastor was going to be pressed. But the pastor looked at it and he simply pointed up and says, "How much do you own up there?" is the question that counts. There is nothing wrong with having things in this world. I think it's wonderful to provide and to plan for the future. I think there is wise wisdom in finding and planning for your older age and even to live an inheritance. But that cannot be the number one priority. So many people learned that when the stock market crashed or when they went through these problems with financial things. There is no protection that's found here in this world. But when you lay something up in heaven, there is nothing that's going to happen to that. When you give of yourself, of your times, and of your resources, you know what's going to happen? Those rewards you will not lose. We need to learn to make spiritual investments. So number one, not only is it the priority of spiritual investments, but number two, the purpose of spiritual investments. The purpose of spiritual investments. All you want to do is, some people might say, all you want to do is just have the church to be rich, Pastor. And don't get me wrong, it does take money to do God's work. We need to send money to the missionaries. We need to have the light bulbs on. And I know some of you ladies are thankful that we have a heater tonight, right? Isn't that true? That some people think it's too cold in here. But, people are thankful for air conditioning. People are thankful for when they have a nice place, a padded pew to sit on. And, you know, we need to print tracts to be able to pass out to the lost. We need to ride vans and drive vans. We need to buy Sunday school material. It does take money to do the Lord's work. But I'm here to tell you, I don't think that is the primary reason why God wants us to give. If you look here in verse number 21, it says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I think what God's trying to say here, as wherever you put your treasure, that's where your heart's going to be too. We are to make a spiritual investment because it impacts our hearts. It impacts our hearts. The primary purpose of making spiritual investments is not to advance the harvest, but it attaches our hearts to a work. If we have a heart for God, if God has our heart, He will have our pocketbook. If God has our heart, He's going to have our wallet. One way I see this, and one thing that happens, and one of the reasons why it's great to have people get involved with things. If someone gets involved with something, you know what? They become very kind and very generous as God speaks to their heart, and they get involved in the ministry. We use it as an example. Kids Crusade, we have lots of people that come around, and Kids Crusade, people have all these great ideas of maybe snack items they like to do or games they like to play or things they like to do. And many times I say, look, we just don't have the budget for that. And you know what the answer that they say is? Oh, I'll just get it for it. No, I could stand up here and I could ask for something like that and I could say it 50 times and sometimes not get a response. But someone who gets involved has their heart attached to it, they are more than willing to say, you know what? I see the need. God has spoken to my heart. This is where I want to invest my time and my life. They've taken their treasure and they've made their treasure something that's after their heart. You look what it says. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Some of us would think that'd be backwards. For where your heart is, that's where your treasure is going to be. And I've seen it over and over, whether it's someone who maybe sings in the choir and they think it's not hard to invest in special music, or someone who works in a cantata with acting. It's not hard to give something when they see it, and that's where their heart becomes because they see the outreach. Or someone works with their kids or works with Sunday school kids or work with van routes and they work with all these other things and they get involved and they allow their heart to become attached to the ministry and they see that they're investing in eternal things. They do not mind giving of their time. They do not mind giving of their resources. They do not mind giving of their talents because they have allowed their heart to become attached to the work that's being done. But many times people are sits in the pew and they're cold hearted and they say, why do we have to buy more Sunday school books? Why do we put gas in a gas tank for the pickup kids? Or why do we need to do this? Or why do we need to do that? It's because they've never allowed their heart to become attached. Their treasure is in something else. Their treasure is things that are physical and things that are temporal. They cannot see that we're making spiritual investments. So point number one is the priority, but the purpose of it. See, you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. God says we will love that to which we give. Notice that we are not told to love first and then give. We are told to give first and then we will certainly love. Hey, look what it says. He tells you first in verses 19 and 20, make sure you have the right priority. Make sure you're laying up the right things. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be at. And as you begin to apply and give of yourself, God will take care of the rest. If you say, I don't understand why somebody works those van routes, but if you went to their houses and you saw the problems and the needs that they had, many times your heart would be broken and say, why don't we run more vans? If you worked with children that were underprivileged and you worked with kids or you worked with the senior citizens or you worked with the widow ladies came over to my house on Monday and they were crazy at my house, but they sang songs And at the next senior luncheon, they're going to actually sing this song that's really cute. So you need to make sure you're there. And so, I have a heart for them. Is that because of the fact that, you're just old? Don't take that wrong, ladies. No, it's because I've gotten to know them. And when I went to, see Miss Helen in the hospital, Miss Helen has probably is the most character of all of them. When I see her hurting there, it's because my heart's been attached there. It's because I've seen them. I've been in many of their houses. I know them. And Miss Gail and Miss Nikki, they do a lot. And those widow ladies would tell you that. And I had the widow ladies say, man, you're some of the nicest people. And they provide things for them, not because they have to, but because their heart's attached there. They see the investment they're making. And I think you understand what I'm getting at is that if you will see the investment that these ministries will do, people don't mind giving because their heart's there. It's when our heart is not there, that's when our treasure is somewhere else. The third thing, not only the priority and the purpose, I want you to see the precaution here. Look what it says in verses 22 through 24. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. If thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Now, there's a precaution here. You read these next couple of verses and you say, that has nothing to do with finances or investing in the future. But it has everything to do with it. It says, we don't talk about the light coming into our body through our eyes, do we? We see light with our eyes. But what Jesus means here, he was talking about the light of our body being the eye that is the perception that is shaped by our focus. If our eye is single and it is focused on spiritually investing in things, our body and our primary goal and our primary purpose becomes honoring and glorifying God. If this is what our focus is on and we are shaped and we allow all this light to come into us, that I'm living a life that is going to be honoring and glorifying God, and this is my purpose in life, then everything else will have focus and everything else will have clarity. If we allow temporal things to become what we take in and we become most important, you know what happens? That's all that it becomes, and that's all that we filled with. That becomes our focus. That becomes our clarity. We have so many programs, and some people might ask, why do we have so many programs or outreaches during hard financial times? And I agree there should be some cutbacks, but I don't think our outreaches of trying to see people saved should be the answer to things that should be cut back. See, our goal is not to build bigger buildings. Our goal is not to have the largest church in North Carolina. Our goal is not to increase our membership. That way we can have bigger offerings. Our focus should be on reaching people for Jesus Christ and to discipling those people for Jesus Christ and edifying them, giving them a place where they can grow their family safely and be able to learn about God. There will never come a time and place where there are not lost sinners in Elizabeth City. And if our focus remains the right thing, if our eye is open and if we see the one thing, it's single-heartedly looking. And once again, I wish I had time to explain these three verses to help you understand that if our focus is in investing in spiritual things, then our body and our focus, our whole life will be about that. But the problem is we've taken in so much. It's sort of like we've been talking about in our Sunday school class about our minds. There is something that's going to occupy our mind. A gas tank is always full. Pastor, gas tank's not always full. My gas is half empty. No, it's half empty with gas, and then the other half is full of air. When you pump that gas in there, it fills your tank. And you say, what are you getting at? You're going to be focused on something. Your body is going to be filled with something. It's what you focus on and what you let into your eye gate. This is the things that you're going to think about. These are the things that's going to be most important to you. This is going to be your treasure because this is where your heart is at. This is where your mind is at. This is where your focus is at. And this is the precaution that if you do not invest in spiritual things, you know what's going to happen? What's going to happen is what verse number 23. Your eye's going to become evil, then your whole body's going to become evil. He says, that's never going to happen to me. Well, the Bible says it in verse 24, no man can serve two masters. It's either I'm going to try to invest in things spiritual, I'm going to try to invest in things that are physical. Now, you say, Pastor, you said earlier you can invest in physical or earthly things. Yes, for the right reasons. So that way you can continue to invest in more spiritually. So you can prepare and you can plan and you can be wise. I think that's all great, but that's not my heart treasure. That's not my goal. That's not my desire. My desire is to be able to invest in things spiritually. And I'm going to live a life. I'm going to be wise with my resources. So that way I have the ability to be able to invest in spiritual things when it comes to my time, my resources, and my talents. The fourth thing, a protection of spiritual investments, a protection of spiritual investments. You see, verses 25 through 34, it speaks about the protection of spiritual investments. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what shall you eat or what shall you drink, nor yet for your body, what shall you put on? Is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? Once again, a great thought and a great verse. But look at the protection that's provided here. Use the example of the fowls. Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather in the barn, yet the heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? This is like a protection that God is promising them. If they will go about doing the things that they're supposed to do, God's going to take care of them. Which of you, by taking one thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Or why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? The Bible is just saying here, there is a protection. If we will invest in things spiritually, God will protect those things for us. He'll take care of us. People take care of their money odd ways. I've heard of people that stick their money inside underneath mattresses. I've heard of people it was an older guy, and he didn't believe in banks, and he had this dog, and he taped all his money into a doghouse, and the dog was there and protected his money. And, you know, he left that as a note to how to get the money out was, you know, they had to go to the dog and give the dog something, and the dog would let him. You know, all these things. People want to do whatever they can to try to protect their money. You know, when the government went and took the money where they covered the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, where they are willing to take care of the bank accounts from $100,000 to $250,000 per account. You know, so many people were thankful for that. That's not real protection. Real protection is the spiritual investments that we make are safe and secure because their protection comes from God. The same God who ensures the birds of the air that they're fed, the flowers of the field that they're arrayed beautifully, God has protected us. If we are willing to invest in him spiritually, he is willing to take care of us physically. And, you know, sometimes this seems so foreign and so odd to us, but it's found right here in Scripture. It's so clear and so evident. We don't like to think about this because we like to protect ourselves and we like to take care of ourselves and we like to not to have faith and we like to not to have to do the things that God has asked us to do. But consider, if a first century Christian could come here and sit down and talk with you and you tell him, I'm worried about not being able to give my son an iPad for Christmas, what would that first century Christian say to you? I was worried that my child was going to stay alive. I was worried that they were going to put me in jail and we wouldn't have any food. If we would tell them what we're worried about and what we're concerned about, I'm worried about not having enough electricity or enough heat when they didn't even have electricity back then. It is nice to live in this century and have all the wonderful benefits that come with it. It is nice to be able to... More than likely, when we went to get our clothes for tonight or clothes this morning, most of you had an opportunity to pick from a bunch of clothes. You think about it. Most of us in our house right now, we have food that would last us at least for a few days. It might not be what you want to eat, but you would have food that would sustain us for a few days. You think about it, then the things that we have in our closet, some of us have a little bit of money in the bank. Most of us live in homes that have roofs, that have heat, that have air conditioning, electricity, running water. You know, we have so many options, and we have become so regarded to the luxuries of this world that we begin to think that these luxuries become necessities. And you know what? We've missed out because we say that we need these things and we invest our lives and having more stuff we don't take the time to invest ourselves into a ministry or into a spiritual thing. It's far more convenient to be able to have two cars in one, but it's not a necessity. It's wonderful to take a vacation. I think those things are good, but it's not a necessity. I enjoy taking my wife out to eat, and not always to Burger King or McDonald's, but that's not a necessity. God has promised to protect and sustain us by meeting our needs. Yet too many of his children are pouting because they are not abundantly wealthy. Christian, we need to understand this. And I know some people are going to say, well, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having two, three, four. You have as many cars as you want, or as many cars as God gives you, and go out to eat as much as you want. I'm not picking on you. I'm just saying these things are not necessities. What is a necessity is that we take what we have and we invest it in spiritual things also. Because we cannot let those cars, those clothes, that food become our heart's treasure. Our heart's desire, if we're going to invest in spiritual things, must be found in saying, is this going to count for eternity? And is this going to make a difference? Last but not least, the promise of spiritual investments. Look at what it says in verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So here's the thought. God says if you will seek him first, and you seek the kingdom of God first, you give everything over to him, and he says to him, and his righteousness, which means godly living, and all these things shall be added unto you. There's a promise there. One preacher put it this way. I thought it was kind of cute. If Bill Gates would come up to you and say, okay, now Bill Gates is a really wealthy guy. Last year, he made $15 billion. Now, I'm not saying $15 million. $15 billion he grossed in his yearly adventures. Bill Gates came up to you and said, you take all the money out of your bank account and all your resources, and I'll combine it with all my resources, and for 1 year, at the end, we'll invest together, and at the end of the year, we'll split what's left over 50-50. Now, would that be a good deal? That'd be a great deal. The few thousand or a few hundreds, or even if you had a million and say, okay, we'll combine everything we have, and then at the end of the year, guess what? We'll split it 50-50. You know, God has much more than Bill Gates does. And what God is saying, if you take what you have and you combine it with what I have, you're going to be blessed more. You're going to be blessed more than anything that you can ever imagine. I tell you, if you let your heart become attached to investing in spiritual things, it will change your life. I'm not talking about, Pastor, you just want to make me give more next Sunday. That's not it at all. I'm asking for you to give your heart over to God and let God take care of the rest. Because I know we have many people that I can just tell by the size of our church that give, and they give faithfully. And I'm thankful for that. I'm not saying you should change that. I'm saying that I want God to have your heart. And I want your heart to be involved in investing in a spiritual future. I want you to see that when we invest in passing out tracts or giving out to try to win people to Christ, or when you see us doing things, hopefully it's all shaped around trying to bring people to Jesus Christ. Hopefully it's all about witnessing and trying to invest into someone's spirituality. When I came here to be a pastor, I didn't come here just to make a lot of money. That didn't happen. I didn't come here to gain notoriety and power and fame. That didn't happen. I mean, that I'm not looking for that. That's not my goal. That's not my focus. What is your focus in this world? Is it to really invest in the spiritual lives of those, invest into eternity? That needs to be our heart. And that's what this passage talks about. Not laying up treasures here in this world, laying them up in heaven. Letting our heart be attached to our treasure, because our heart is attached to the things of God. I know people who check their email tons of times every day. I know people who go to their social media websites all the time and look at each other's update. They update and say, I had this for breakfast. I don't know why anybody cares what I had for breakfast. I didn't have any breakfast this morning. I mean, but no one's going to go to the computer and check that. But there's people who check that. Why is that? Because their heart is with their email. Their heart is with their social media. I know people who can't live without knowing scores of basketball games and football games. Why is that? Because their heart is there. I know people who watch the Dow and they're not watching it because the little numbers are a lot of fun to watch. That's not the case. It's because their heart is there. I know people who have their life's heart somewhere else. That's where their focus is at. Now, don't get me wrong. I know we have to make a living. I get that. I understand that. And I know that my job pays so I can be the pastor of the church here. My ministry is here and it's now. And that you work, many of you work 40, 50, 60 hours a week, and then your ministry starts. I think that your work is part of your ministry. You try to be the best Christian you can be while you're doing it. And at the same time, we invest in spiritual things. Let your heart become attached to investing spiritually. Let God lead and guide you on what to give and how much time to give and where to serve and where to do these things. Because it's not just about resources. It's about time and talents. And how much are we really investing? You know, it's kind of interesting. I heard a story about a guy who found a great stock tip. I don't know if it's true or not, but he found a great stock tip. He went and told his friend. This guy invested a lot of money in it. And his friend invested just a little bit. Well, the guy who invested a lot became very, very wealthy. And the guy who invested a little bit was blessed because he had more than what he started with. But the person who had a lot had so much more. What's the point? The point is, what you put into it, what you sow, is what you're going to reap. And so many of us are sowing very, very sparingly when it comes to spiritual investments. We all want to see our church grow. We all want to see people saved. We all want to see our finances get good. We all want to see support more missionaries. We all want to see things to happen that will invest into eternity. But many people are sowing so sparingly, they're expecting to reap a great harvest, but they've never even made an investment. What are you investing in today? Let's invest in spiritual things. Take a good thought when during invitation time. Think about it. Am I truly making spiritual investments? I know God's tithe is something that I believe is a commandment from God. I'm talking about making investments beyond that and saying, what is it that God would want me to do when it comes to my time, my talent, and my resources? I have all this. Am I investing in spiritual matters? Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.